This is Listener's Guide, a series from Big Secret Records. Each season leads you deep into how the label's releases were made with the artists who made them. I'm Andrew Jones, the owner and operator of Big Secret Records, talking to you from the label's home base in Portland, Oregon. You're listening to How Good American Songbook by Bob Cummins Jr. was made. And in this episode, we're talking about the hit song, the lead single from the album, Could You Be My Magic Arm? This was a big hit on YouTube for the people who enjoy well-produced music videos. We're talking about the whole spectrum of music here. We're talking about Debussy, Neil Young, trap beats, and of course everyone that is present is talking about their favorite parts that the other people played. It's just a lot of love on this episode, folks. So yeah, let's get to it. Could You Be My Magic Arm? The answer lies in this episode.
I was living in Austin at the time, and I came back home to visit my family in Dallas for like a couple of days, and I wrote this on the baby grand at their house, my grandmother's baby grand. And it's interesting. I feel like it fits the tone of the rest of the album, but I either wrote most of the songs at my house in Austin or in my girlfriend's apartment in Austin. And there's a different vibe to that one. I think it was spontaneous too, because I only had like a day or two to be in Dallas. And the song came from the opening riff, but it was originally like I was trying to do like a romantic Debussy kind of thing with it, like. But then I think I just started playing it in that other tempo, and the song came from there. And I wrote the verse on that piano, and then, as I usually do, I just can't help but try to like make a demo. So I went to my room and banged out the verse, and then I was like, oh, I guess it needs a chorus. And the chorus was written on guitar. So the chorus has a slightly different feel than the verses.
Really like weird against the melody,
right.
on guitar.
Could you be my magic arm before you go? Please help me take it off. I'm much too weak if I have to be alone to carry by myself.
Those chords are really weird to me, because it's a real, like, I mean, not like super happy, but I mean like it's an upbeat song. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Right. I mean,
and those chords, I mean, they're like minor chords.
Right. I think part of that is I have a problem writing in the family home sometimes, because usually whenever I write a song, it'll begin with me playing just some downtrodden, just, you know, thing for like 30 minutes, and then at some point it will become a song. Maybe it's me hiding my emotions a little bit, but yeah. I think the song itself is genuine, you know. Or maybe it's just in a good mood that day, I don't remember, but that is a pattern I've noticed within myself, that, you know, I won't spend too much time like wallowing whenever I'm writing in the living room, you know.
Yeah, you don't want any family member to be like, you okay, Bob?
Right, exactly.
left your own device.
I remember the demo, and like it seems like everything was like lyrically the same. That didn't change.
I don't think I ever changed any of the lyrics. The only thing that really changed, other than the textures and arrangement, was I sent the tune to you, and then we figured out a better, like, the order of the song was really weird.
Yeah.
And then we figured out a better form.
Yeah.
For the song.
For me, where when I heard that at first, I was like, do I love that or do I think it's annoying?
Well, the sound,
as it grew, or like I heard it more, it settled into a place where I was like, oh, that's the sound it should have always been, you know what I mean?
I think we tamed it a little bit for the record to make it not as well. The reason that it's so grating in that demo is because, same with the guitar parts, because I cannot play a guitar for the life of me, I sped it up 2 times. So that to twice speed. So playing it was like, you know, yeah. And it's got that like tinny harpsichord quality to it.
And we tried that again. I remember we took kind of a long time to get that opening riff like sounding and feeling right.
Right.
Like we did it at Echo Lab, and we did it at my place, and then it ended up being,
was it guitar and clavinet?
Yeah, guitar over, I think, just piano, like regular piano. Oh, like we okay. Didn't speed it up, I think. But in the solo, the clavinet comes in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I might have written like the first little bit of the chorus on guitar, like the ting 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 the. But then the second part of the verse where it goes into the, like, what?
This sounds like a maid. Man needs a maid.
Maid.
Yeah.
Man needs a maid. Yeah. Oh, we should get Jasper on the phone because he hates that song. It's his favorite record, though. But he's like, yeah, that song, I always hated that one.
That's so funny. Do you know if he's doing anything right now?
I can call him up. Call Jasper. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey,
what's up, y'all?
Hey.
Nothing much. We're talking about Magic Arm. We were talking about your funky bass part. How did you come up with that bass part?
I took a lot of inspiration from your writing, your demo, you know. So that was the big starting point. I feel like that song kind of reminds me of like a Paul McCartney, like, or like a Nilsson didn't do it as much, but like very like jaunty, like jovial, right. Something very like spirited.
Mm-hmm.
That word's come up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think jaunty has come up already.
It's a good word for that song, and that like wah guitar adds such like a. I think Andy added that. That's such a, like, added so much more funk to it, so much flavor.
Was that inspired by the bass part, or was that something you wanted to do, like, from the get-go?
The guitar thing?
Yeah.
Maybe the bass had something to do with it, because that was like one of the last things that we tracked. And
so. Yeah.
And it was, I just wanted it to be kind of quirky, but not like too quirky, because there's a lot going on in that song that's sort of like Technicolor. And I didn't want to like mess it up too bad, so I didn't want to like get a wah on it necessarily. So I used the auto wah. And like, it took me forever to get that dialed in a way that wasn't like piercing or wasn't like too talky.
Right.
But yeah, it ends up working really. I think I was trying to play with the bass, because when that one bass lick, the doo-doo-doo-doo, like I wanted that to happen on guitar, like every measure,
right, that you're, you know, doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 It's so like the cool. Same kind of cadence. Yeah. But Jasper, we were talking about the chorus, and Bob played like the first two chords, and I was like, that sounds like a man needs a maid.
I was telling Andy how much you love that song.
I fucking hate that track. That song sucks, dude. I love Neil Young. I love his piano playing, but it's, oh my god, something about that track. And it's so weird, too, because like, it has that like sweeping orchestral vibe to it.
What's the other song like that there's on that like record? Yeah, there's that one that's like ba-na-da,
da-na-da. Was that the track that you were listening to when you were wandering around in the desert?
Yeah, no, you will get a different perspective of that song wandering through the desert.
I'm sorry. That's all you need to do.
With the other one. I don't remember what it's called.
There's a World, is that it?
Yeah, There's a World.
It's so crazy.
It's really funny how many people like took inspiration from Harvest, or like cite Harvest as like a production like benchmark or something. It's like, oh, it sounds so natural or whatever, and like everyone just conveniently forgets the like terrible orchestral track.
And it's like there are like three sets of songs. There's like the old man like studio stuff that's like a band, and then there's like the tracked live as a band like Georgia stuff, and right. Then there are the those two big symphony tracks,
right?
Yeah, so like the whole thing sounds different like track to track. This is a Neil Young show.
Welcome back to Old Men, the Neil Young podcast.
And also, I forgot about on Magic Arm, the other thing that I love. It was like an idea that I had, and then you guys just figured out the way to make it cool, was that overdubbed snare thing we did in the last chorus.
Oh, like the marching band thing? Yeah, like so the, cool.
That was one of those, like, you know, going back to, like, influences that, like, I wasn't sure how to incorporate necessarily. But Andy was real adamant about, like, kind of, like... sparse hip-hop production making an appearance, you know, in any way, maybe just trying to recreate some of the Shakewell elements, you know, and just trying to figure out a way to do that with something acoustic, you know. So when I originally like tried that, I was like, oh, this is cool, and then the way you ended up doing it on the record, I feel like just really you figured out how I wanted it to sound without me being in the room, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of came off like a trap thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was my idea, because also it just felt like wildly inappropriate for the
right,
song.
Right.
But somehow it worked.
There was another Moog moment where we had it, we ran it through the filter of a
Moog moment.
Yeah. A Moogment. Yeah, we ran it through the filter of a grandmother and like automated it. I patched it somehow. I can't even think of how I did it, but it was like I just like let it run. So like that filter isn't like a plugin that's automated or anything. It's like that's just the way that the synthesizer was cycling at that time.
Sounds great.
That's it. That's the story of Magic Arm. What a tale of triumph that episode was. Something that this episode reminded me of is that the night that we were recording the funky guitar part and also the guitar solo from But That's My Life, I was starting to like feel the effects of my first or second COVID shot. No, my second one. And that was a rough one for me. Poor Bob had to kind of sit there and watch me make like really dumb mistakes and do like a number of incomplete takes, is because I was like, no, that's not quite right. And it was mostly just because I couldn't see straight. I felt terrible. But this is not going to become an anti-vax podcast. I want everyone to know that. I felt great afterward, and I'm glad I did it. I did my civic duty, folks. Anyway, subscribe to the podcast to learn about the rest of Good American Songbook track by track. Visit BigSecretRecords.com or find the label on Instagram and TikTok to learn more about what's next from Big Secret Records. Thank you for listening.